Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. We are your hosts. I am Patty Sheen.
And I'm Jean Alfieri. Thank you for listening.
Together, we will introduce you to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light.
And those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light.
We hope that today's episode will give you tools to find your way out of a disheartening journey, a difficult circumstance, a depressing situation.
Today's guest is author Melinda Fugate. Melinda grew up in children's ministry. After 2 decades of dedicated volunteer service, she now serves full-time as a children's education director at a church in Southern California. She studied communications and theater at Azusa Pacific University, then worked behind the scenes at the Los Angeles Salem radio stations, including The Fish and KKLA.
Melinda's writing includes The Other Three Steens, Bible Time for Active Kids, commercial copywriting, various faith-based stage and screenplays, as well as co-producing A Single Girl's Guide 2, which is a lifestyle blog and web series. Her lifelong study of God's Word continues to reveal more about the Lord every day. Melinda lives by the beach with her pup, Yoshi.
Good morning, Melinda, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you guys.
So, Melinda, your life work started in children's ministry and then expanded into radio communications, commercial copywriting, then screenplays, a lifestyle blog and web series. How do you see God's hand in how one opportunity led to another?
Oh, God's hand is definitely in everything, whether a project is specifically faith-based or if it's something that is not on the surface level a Christian-centered project, he's still there and he's still working in it. And I've discovered that it's all about the relationships that are formed along the way and being used for his purposes. So it's sharing love with everybody we encounter. So sometimes the work itself is doing the sharing the love, and sometimes it's the people you meet and the things that we are doing. Like, I firmly believe that we all have a ministry, whether it's vocational in the church ministry or in whatever workplace we find ourselves in or in our home and family life. Like, God has a purpose for us, and he's using that. So it's been a blessing to enjoy the creativity aspects and the experiences and finding out that God often uses where we are and what we're doing, like, yes, for the purposes of our growth and to serve him and to bless others, but also as preparation for the next adventure. So as I've moved from one thing to another, it's been an adventure, I think is the best way to describe it.
How neat. That's beautiful. I feel the same way. It seems like there's a foundation built and then everything just kind of happens and is built on that.
Let me jump in and ask a quick question if I could. I'm always curious to know with my guests, did you envision this kind of work when you were a younger person? Did you grow up in a Christian home? Did you feel yourself leaning toward this kind of work from a young age? Or did your faith life come later?
I was raised in a Christian home. My dad is actually a pastor, and I have uncles who are pastors, and my grandparents were very faith-filled. But also seeing, like, the backside of the church and the ministry and all of the logistics and all of the church politics that happen, I became very jaded and cynical about church life. My faith has always been, thankfully, very strong. Like, God has been with me and made himself known throughout my life. But there is a lot of anger and bitterness and cynicism towards church life. So I had no intentions of going into ministry. I was studying theater and I was studying, you know, radio and broadcast and film and TV. But God opened doors. He softened my heart towards ministry as I had attended different churches and had more experiences as an adult. And he just really led me step by step into ministry, and I have no regrets. And I'm glad that I've had the experiences that I did with some of the negative aspects, because it's taught me how to avoid them and how to promote positive, healthy church life and not get dragged into the things that can weigh us down and hinder us.
Absolutely. And I like to touch on that question, Melinda, because sometimes that past history puts a whole new perspective on the work that you're doing now, in the sense that you have really traveled a journey to get to where you are today, a faith journey. So that's why I like to ask my guests, what is their background? Because I've had some guests that grew up with absolutely no knowledge or understanding of God at all in their life. So when they go into ministry later, it's like, wow, you know, it just goes to show how amazing our God is. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
Yes. That's beautiful. It sounds like you're very busy, Melinda. When you're not writing, how do you enjoy your downtime, and what are some of your favorite things to do in sunny California?
Well, I love the beach. I live pretty close to the water, which I'm so thankful for. I love being outdoors. It's so much fun to explore different opportunities and events and things that are happening in LA and Orange County. But I have my introverted side, so reading and writing, being crafty and artful, and of course, the friends and my church community and my dog Yoshi. She's my pal. But I have to say that a lot of that has changed this year, as a lot of things are closed with all this pandemic. So I'm thankful to still be able to be outdoors as much as possible, still go to the beach and all of that. But I have to say, I am really looking forward to going back to the movie theater and museums as soon as I can.
Amen to that. Me too. And I have to ask, Melinda, Yoshi is what type of dog?
She is half poodle, half chihuahua, and she looks like a terrier. So she's just a little scrappy dog who is very loving and loves people.
Fantastic. So you're a creative. What is one of your creations that you feel is most God-inspired?
This is a very thought-provoking question, and it's really hard for me to choose one thing. Most of my faith-based projects definitely are more God-inspired than the things that I'm doing that are more mainstream. I feel like it's a tie between three things. Two books and a stage play. I was part of a theater company in Anaheim, California for a while, and one of the shows that I wrote was called The Root of Jesse. It was a Christmas show, and it goes through Jesus's lineage and highlights the people and the humanity and who they were and how God used even their brokenness is part of Jesus's family line and leading up to the Messiah who saved us, and just that we all have a place in God's purposes. And it was a fun show to do. It was, you know, different music was involved, but I really felt like the message was God inspired. But my books have definitely been something that, I mean, they could not happen without God's inspiration. Like, all credit and glory goes to him, because writing a book was something I never thought I would do, let alone more than one. But I wrote Bible Time for Active Kids, which is a kids devotional that's activities based. Something that grew out of my time in children's ministry, making stories come alive and for kids to be able to process them hands-on because kids are very sensory. So doing the activities and taking the time to process the stories and the ideas that are in God's word is very important. And then the other 3:16s is my book for adults. It starts with John 3:16, which is very familiar to all of us, and it goes through each third chapter, 16th verse in each book of the Bible that has one. There's a few that don't have a chapter 3, verse 16, but it's all tied together with how God loves us. And so that's been something that journey has been not only, I feel like, so grateful that God can use these works, but the journey in creating them has also been very much a blessing and very wonderful.
Very nice. When did you do the stage play, Melinda? What year did you do that?
Goodness, time is flowing together with all of this pandemic stuff. But I feel like it was 2012 or 2013. It's been a while.
Okay. And then the books?
Bible Time for Active Kids came out in 2016 or 2017. And then the other 3:16s was actually just released in May. So it's still very new.
Okay.
And Melinda, you talked in our introduction here, we mentioned that you do screenplays. Is that like for TV and that kind of thing, or am I mistaken there, or even for film?
That is the goal. I actually have an associate's degree in film production, so a lot of things I did for student productions, and I've been, production assistant on some professional things. I have written a couple screenplays for film, and assisted with some things that are in development for TV. Nothing, to be honest, nothing that I have written has been sold or produced yet, but
okay.
It is still something that I enjoy do, and that I it's fun to do on the side, and so we'll see where God takes that.
Well, part of the reason I ask that is I like to do it myself. And I happen to, Gene can tell you, I'm a huge fan of the TV show Gunsmoke. And I'm fortunate enough to actually have some of the original scripts that I have acquired over time. Yeah, and it's fun. And I have read through some of them, and I've often thought, oh, it would be so fun to write something like this, you know? So I thought I would ask you if that's what you have done. And is it fun? And did you enjoy doing it? Is it hard?
It's absolutely fun. It has its challenges, and then there are some ways that it's easier than traditional novel writing. I recommend trying it. If you are interested in kind of taking the plunge, there's an organization called the 168 Film Project, and they do what's called the Rite of Passage competition every year, where you have a week to write a 12-page short script based on a memory verse or a scripture verse. Memory verse, you can tell I work in kids ministry. But they give you a scripture and a theme, and you have a week to write a 12-page script on it, and you work with a mentor who helps you and helps kind of shape it. And that's been a really fun experience. And so I recommend that to anybody who, whether they are a veteran of the screenwriting world or just wanting to dabble.
Very good. Well, every once in a
that's
while,
a great
I
tip.
Pull up those scripts and read it, and I think to myself, oh, it'll be fun write something like this, you know? And yeah, I can see where in a way it might be quite a bit easier than novel writing because you don't have to do as much description and all that. And yeah, so maybe that's something for my agenda for someday in the future.
I recommend it.
All righty.
Resolutions are a big part of many people's New Year's plans. How can we seek God through our resolutions?
I am so glad we're talking about this. Partially because this is something that I've been learning. So I don't feel like, hey, I'm coming to this with this like sage wisdom. This is more of a, hey, God has taught me something. I want to share it because it's good. Basically, I feel like our resolutions, while good, it's good to have goals. There's nothing wrong with having goals and they can help us grow. But when we look at New Year's resolutions, statistically, most resolutions fail by the end of January, beginning of February. And I feel like that's because we're just working and powered by our own discipline, our own willpower, which can get us so far, but is limited because we're human. And then it leads to frustration and discouragement, which kind of trips us up a little bit more. So it's well-intentioned, but resolutions within themselves on our own power are difficult, and it's beyond what our expectations are frequently. On the flip side, we have a relationship with God who is strong and capable, and he can see ahead what challenges are coming, and he knows what we need, and he equips us. So it would be really easy for us to be like, okay, let's just throw God into our resolution formula and he'll help make the magic happen. But of course we know God's not a vending machine. God's not a genie. That's not how it works. I love the verse, and it took me a while to love this verse, Psalm 37:4, which is so often quoted, that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. And it feels like that's often been used as a claiming for wish fulfillment. But I've discovered what I think that it means is that God puts the desires into our hearts. He gives us the blueprint for our dreams. He gives us the things to aim for that will glorify him and serve his purposes, and then help us grow and bless us too, because God is here to help us grow, to bless us for our good. Romans 8:28 reminds us of that. And also Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and then all the rest will be added to you. It really tells us priorities need to be, that we need to prioritize God himself, his word, his teachings, his presence, his direction, praising and worshiping him. Like, that's where our priorities should be. And the Holy Spirit will equip us to do all of these things. So it's not something that we're trying to do in our own power and our own will. And then the rest of the things will fall into place. And another often quoted verse in Philippians 4 is that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And that's again used for, I can do everything I want. Christ is going to help me. But if we look at it in context, Paul is talking about the challenges he had and how sometimes he's in comfort and sometimes he's in hardship, but no matter what's happening, he's doing it all through Christ. And we can model that no matter where we are in our lives, no matter what's going on with our jobs, with our families, with our personal lives. It's all focused with our eyes on Christ, and then he's going to help everything fall into place. So talking to him about the goals and the things that we're hoping to have, which must include listening to him and giving time for him to give us direction, to seek his plan beyond our imagination. He's got good plans for us. And so if we're seeking him for, hey, where are you taking me this year, instead of, I want to go here this year, like that can revolutionize and turn things around for us. And more so, what I found is that when we're seeking God and we're focusing on him as we go into a new year, he offers so much grace when we stumble. I mean, we try these resolutions on our own, and then we don't make it, and then we quit, and we give up, and that's so final and so ending. But we serve a God of grace and mercy that when we do stumble and we do mess up, he helps pick us back up again to restart, to learn from what we've done, and to grow and be stronger moving forward. And that's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And when we have the time and praise and worship with him being the focus and no ulterior motives of us trying to get something, like that recesses, like living this lifestyle that's Christ prioritized and eyes on Christ, like that's going to be what leaves us happier and fulfilled and walking in the purposes he's created for us. And so nothing wrong with resolutions at all. This is not like bashing resolutions, but I feel like if our approach is different, we're going to have a way different result, and it's going to be more in line with what he's intended for us.
That was really well stated, Melinda, and I got to say, I appreciate how you framed it. I had a similar experience in that annually, I pick a word for myself, and I want that word front and center. I put it on the refrigerator. It's going to be important to me. I've always picked it. And this year was the first year that it was actually introduced to me that rather than pick it for myself, perhaps I should pray for it. And what a turnaround. It was just incredible. And as soon as I did, it was there. It wasn't even like I had to pray a long time for it. It just showed up. And then it showed up again, and it showed up some more. And I'm like, huh, I think this might be the word I need. And so it was just a really beautiful transformation to exactly what you discussed, in that it wasn't something I created for myself. It was something that was given to me. But unless you ask for it, unless you follow it, it may not be that obvious to you.
Absolutely. And how often do we go to the Lord with our laundry list, not necessarily because we have a gimme, gimme, gimme spirit in our hearts, but just because our minds are working so quickly and we have so many things that we're thinking about and concerned about. But in that flurry, we forget to take quiet time and we forget to listen. And we fill our lives with so much noise. We like the TV on and the radio on. And again, those are not bad things. But if we don't leave any space for listening, what are we missing? There's so much he has for us that we may be missing out on.
Right. That's so true.
You know, it's interesting, ladies, that I also, like you, Jean, was thinking of a word for the year and kind of praying about that, had that in the back of my mind, because you know that we as writers on our writers group, a lot of times people will share on our general mail loop, oh, my word for the year is this. So I had been thinking along that same thing. And actually what prompted me was a Facebook challenge where we were asked to use a word that begins with the same letter as our first name. Like for me, it was P. So right away, perseverance came up in my mind. And I thought, yeah, that is a perfect one for me, because I have a lot of things that I would be tempted to just say, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore. But I realized that I need to persevere. So yeah, it's kind of fun to do that and come up with that word. And I have so enjoyed what you said, Melinda. I think you really shared a lot there. And thank you.
Thank you so much. I mean, again, it's things that God has been teaching me, and I just pray that by sharing my experience that it just spreads that goodness that he's teaching us.
Definitely. And something else that I listen to Christian radio a lot. There's a Christian radio station in Colorado Springs that can actually be heard all over the world on the internet, but I just love this station. And the host this morning of the morning show, he brought up a quote that I just kind of think fits in with this, just happens to fit in with this message this morning. And that quote is, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." That was A.W. Tozier. And it goes on to say, your thoughts about God will change the way you act, the way you think, and the way you are. So that's something to think about taking in, coming into the new year as well.
Yeah. Yes.
Melinda, as you know, the premise of this show is for people to share their experiences of darkness. And by darkness, I don't necessarily mean, I'm referring to difficult times. We've all experienced some kind of a difficult time in our life, some more than others. But if you would you share a difficult time in your life on your way back to light?
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity to share. I think for me, I've seen a lot of people's stories and testimonies where they go from a period of darkness to God bringing them into the light, and it's like this big transition, and then nothing is ever the same. And while that is very encouraging to me, my biggest struggle is a pattern. I have bipolar disorder, which is a constant challenge. It's up and down. And the amazing thing is that God is so faithful, and He is consistently saving me. And it can be very discouraging to find yourself back into a place you feel like you've been before and God has taken you out of it. But the hope and the promise that God will continue to bring me out of this as dealing with the bipolar cycle is something that gives me great hope. And I guess it would be probably good to do a quick definition, because some people are very familiar with bipolar disorder and some people just haven't had the experience. So to catch everybody up, basically it is a mental disorder that is a mood disorder. And there are depressive periods and what's called manic periods. In the depressive periods, it's very familiar to those with depression and anxiety, where it's very low and difficult. Sadness is a little bit basic way, like it's just a heaviness sometimes. It's really hard to describe it, and it varies from person to person. On the flip side, the mania side can be very high energy. The thoughts are racing. There can be just this excessive confidence and spontaneous decisions. And again, everybody has different symptoms, or I don't know if you describe it as symptoms, but states of mind. But it's something, if you're interested in, to definitely look up, because it's very interesting. There's a lot of work that people have done talking about their experience with bipolar disorder. But for me, I'm just so grateful that the Lord has never left my side, because it can feel a little unstable when just when I get used to either stability, when I'm right in the middle in the good spot between those two, or when something's really low or something's really high, God has always been there, even and especially when it's hard to feel His presence. Because especially during the dark, depressive times, it feels like there's this cloud between me and God, or this curtain, or this some kind of barrier where I can't see Him and I can't feel Him, which is such a scary thing. But He's given us the promises of His word to cling to when our senses and our experiences are excruciatingly difficult. And just because I can't sense Him does not mean He's not there. He says He will never leave or forsake me, and I believe that. I love Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. And He's proven that true in my life. In the most recent crisis down depressive period, He definitely was there through the gifts of medication and therapy and the tools that He's given me to process and handle and manage these things. But the biggest gift I feel that He's given me here on earth is the gift of community. He's surrounded me with loving friends and family. My church is an amazing support, and they're really the hands and feet of Christ and help His love feel so tangible when I'm struggling to sense and feel Him on my own. And so He has brought me from those dark places back into the light. He has helped strengthen my faith so that I'm not giving up and saying, well, here I am again, this must all be worthless. Through His word being so consistent, like the promises in His word have come true in life. And so that gives us the ability to trust that it's going to be the same. And the fact that it's consistent in tangible ways, it just really solidifies His promises. And that's an amazing thing to me. And knowing that He is a healer, and even though it feels like I'm back in the same place sometimes when I fall into these patterns, I'm not the same person I was the last time I was there. He has bringing me out of this long process with lots of ups and downs. I mean, it's going to be ups and downs between here and eternity, but he is there, he is working, and he's making himself known. And that to me is an amazing gift. And I have so much gratitude towards our Lord for not leaving me stuck in a place, but for using me despite and using some of these places. I mean, to write the book, the other 316s, it really deals a lot with the times when things were not all sunshine and happiness for the Israelites in a lot of circumstances. And I could relate to that. And God's love is still there, even when the times feel dark and the light is coming. He's bringing us to that. We're not going to be stuck because he loves us and he's pulling us out. So those things, I have just been very blessed to have the experience, even though, I mean, to say I've been blessed to have dark experiences is not, you know, something you hear very often, but I am blessed to have the Lord present 100% no matter what the experience, and that's been a life changer.
Well, Melinda, thank you so much for sharing that, and I can, from the other side, can relate to what you're talking about. I think Jean knows this about me, but you don't. I worked in psychiatric nursing for my whole nursing career.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, I dealt with some bipolar patients. I worked mainly for a VA hospital. And back years ago in the 70s, we had a gentleman who was fascinating. When he was in his depressive state, he would go to the library and he would spend hours just buried in books, just reading. Mm. But he was in his manic phase. He would just nonstop talk about all of the stuff he had read. It was absolutely amazing. And the interesting thing is, despite that mood disorder issue, Melinda, these people tend to be very, very intelligent. So I would throw that in there, that I had had the experience of working with some bipolar folks. And yeah, they are amazing people for sure.
Well, thank you for sharing your experience. It's always curious to me what it's like from the other side of things.
Well, thank you so much for sharing so much of what's been going on in your life, Melinda, and the fact that God is always there. That brings a great deal of hope to people who do deal with this issue and other mental health issues. So thank you so much for sharing that. At this point, we're about halfway through our broadcast this morning. I'm going to take a little break, what I kind of call a station identification, which reminds listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen, and my host, Jean Alfieri, is also with me today. I'm excited that this is our first episode where the two of us are interviewing a third guest, so it's really kind of fun. Our guest today is Melinda Fugate. She is sharing with us about the many different things that she does. She's works in children's ministry, and she's written some interesting books, and she's shared with us quite a few things about her professional and spiritual journey. She's talked to us about New Year's resolutions. She's talked to us about a very challenging situation in her life and how she found her way back to light and how she is constantly seeking God's light and in his light. I'd like to refer you at this time to my website, which is pattysheen.com, and that's where you will find any information about Melinda, her website, her social media outlets, links to her books. My website is spelled pattysheen, pattisheen.com. We hope that you will refer this show to family and friends if you enjoyed it. We hope you did, that you've learned something from it. And when you go to pattysheen.com, you will find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top, and there you will find a link to Melinda's show as well as all of the shows that we have recorded to date. Under each show is a more information tab, and that's where you will find the information to learn more about Melinda. During the second half of our show today, we're going to talk about Melinda's book, The Other 316s. Melinda, I was blessed to read this book. And I'm going to tell you what, when I first picked it up, of course, I bought it on Kindle. And it's hard to tell how long a book is when you see it on Kindle. And I learned in a hurry that this is no 2 or 3 hour read. It is a very in-depth cross-section of the Bible, and I was really impressed. So let me ask you, what motivated you to write the book? What is the overall message you hope to convey?
Well, it started, I guess, unsurprisingly with my life story with children's ministry, because we're constantly learning John 3:16, which, because it's so central of the gospel message, it summarizes it well for even the youngest believers to understand. And we say it, we sing about it. John 3:16 is just a very central thing in children's ministry, and I guess for all believers of all ages. And just from the repetition of the 3:16, if I was doing any other reading in other books of the Bible, if I stumbled across the 3:16, it would just jump out at me. Again, not because of any mystical special thing, just because of the repetition of 3:16. But it sparked my curiosity. I thought, well, I know John 3:16 so well. What do the other 3:16 say? What will I find there? I mean, everything in God's word is a treasure, so we know it's going to be good. So that began a personal study of just looking through and just out of curiosity, seeing what was there. And I had another thought, or the Holy Spirit inspired another thought, I guess is more accurate, that everything in God's word comes back to his love, because God is love. And so my question then was, okay, if that's the case, then all of these 3:16s, what will they say about God's love? So my personal study took that turn, just looking to see, framing it from the perspective of God's love, what I discovered. And in the process, I mean, God definitely opened my eyes to a lot of revelations. Just some things seemed obvious, but we just hadn't thought about, and some connections, like there are some 3:16s that are about goat sacrifices and discipline and things that are hard, but God's love was still there. And that's, as I studied that and as I learned, again, if I learn something amazing, I can't keep it to myself. I felt like this is something that needs to be shared. And so God opened doors to a publisher, and it made a book happen. And so that is another adventure. I had never, I self-published the kids' book on using Amazon CreateSpace, but the publishing journey, being traditionally published, was very new to me. And so just through one question, what's in the other 3:16s, God opened this whole door of an adventure. But you ask what the overall message was. It's that God loves you. God loves you personally. And when we think that somebody loves us, we think, oh, they have this emotion, this fondness for us. They like us a lot. But what it means to be loved by God is so much more than that. It's very passionate and intense and tangible and active. And the more we find another attribute after attribute of God's love for us, it changes who we are. It changes our relationship with God. It changes our relationship with other people. It's very transformative.
Well, this is what I thoroughly enjoyed about your book, Melinda, was that, I've got this passage here in front of me from your book where you talk about one of the most gruesome scenes in the Bible, which is the murder of King Eglon by Ehud, the thrusting the sword into the very obese man. that's a very gruesome scene in the Bible. And yet out of that, you go on and you show how God's love is reflected. It's like, wow. So I really enjoyed the fact that you take even the most dark parts of the Bible, and there are some, and you say, hey, through all this horror, God's love is still there. So that's what I really enjoyed about the book. And I think that was probably what you wanted to do. And you certainly accomplished that.
And I have to ask too, I love that this curiosity was put in your heart. I have to ask, Melinda, how long did it take you to research this? How long did it take to put this book together?
It's really hard to measure because it was such like a not intentional process at first. And so I wasn't very diligent at first about researching and organizing notes and things like that. I would say that the process from the idea to when I turned in the manuscript was probably close to a year and a half to 2 years.
Okay. Yeah, that's so impressive. That is diligence in itself to keep to that. And I love, again, that it just started with a curiosity on your part, because what a beautiful thing to share with the world. That is outstanding.
I really think that God puts these, questions. Like, I try to teach my kids, it's good to ask God questions. Like, don't think that we know everything, and don't think that it's even having things that we doubt. It's good to say, God, I don't get this. Let's, can you explain this? Because he's going to open doors. And some things we're going to get, and some things, we might have to wait until heaven for him to reveal. But the curiosity is that first step into learning more and then growing closer. Like, it really fosters intimacy with God as we're asking questions and hearing his answers.
Right.
I'd like to share with you ladies, too, that in reading your book for the past several days, Melinda, and I usually don't bring up politics on the show, but what happened Wednesday is so much on the minds of all Americans. Of course, I don't know when listeners will be hearing this episode, so let me clarify that I'm referring to the events that occurred in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. Later that night, I was reading your book, The Other 3:16s. I tend to lean toward the conservative side of the way I view things, and I'm not saying that there hasn't been error and wrongdoings on both sides of the aisle, but it just struck me. It gave me such a heavy heart to think that through all that the Bible teaches us, we're just not getting it. Look at what the Israelites went through when they turned away from God. And I sometimes feel like, man, we need to wake up here because we are just not getting it. So I think books like yours are just so much needed on the American scene today. I think your book is very timely.
Well, thank you. And I think we have a lot in common with the Israelites, though. We have a lot to learn. And thank goodness, thank the Lord that he put his message down for us to go, generations and generations have passed, and we haven't missed out on what he wants us to hear. It's right there. We've got it in front of us. So there's hope through all of this madness. There is so much hope for us.
Exactly. Yeah, and I'd be curious to know, to tag on to what Jean just said, what kind of research did you do? Did you go to, like, concordances? Did you go to Bible studies to glean this information? Or did you basically use your own interpretation of what the Bible had taught you?
It was kind of a mix. There's the one thing that sometimes I struggle with is that I haven't gone to seminary, and I feel like I'm not educated to the point where I am in any position to be writing a book. But God has shown me that I'm an everyday person, and I'm writing for everyday people. And he has a purpose for, the more academic and the larger words and grandiose ideas that often happen in the academic circle. And so I'm trying to be faithful with where he has put me and what he's given me. But all that being said, I wanted to be certain that I was on the right track and glorifying him and not just throwing my ideas and like getting everybody off track. So yes, it's from that lifetime of learning and listening and attending Bible studies and being in church and studying for my lessons that I'm teaching. I also use study Bibles and commentaries, and now we're so blessed to have so many online resources that are solid and helpful.
Yes,
the time in the Word with the Holy Spirit's guidance, just asking God to reveal to me, like, where's your love in this? Please show me. Like, that's something too that's so precious to us, is that we don't have to rely on a third party to be connected with the Lord. He's going to give us understanding, again, bit by bit. And sometimes there are things that we're not going to get until heaven. But, oh my goodness, like, God is a hands-on Lord. And that is amazing that he's right there with us. And he doesn't want to put barriers between us and him. He wants to remove those barriers so we have a greater understanding of him. And so I also wanted to have a pastor and a professor check my work, and I always tried to include which scriptures I was referencing with which ideas to God's love and the overall ideas, because I wanted it to be anchored in the Word. Like, yes, I have ideas, and yes, I have connections that my brain has made with these stories, But the anchor, it all goes back to what God's word is saying. Like, his ideas are what is important, not mine. So I definitely wanted to make sure that was in there. And even still, with all of that, I feel like I have so much to learn. The more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. And so there's always so much more to dig into and so much to understand.
Absolutely. Well, that's, again, something that I really enjoyed about the book is I've taken a couple of Bible study classes at our church and through different places, you know. And our former pastor had us doing this one Bible study on a book that I thought was really kind of heavy. And I made the comment that it was a little heavy for me. And he said, well, I hate to tell you, but this is the C. Jane run of theology. I was like, oh, my goodness, you know. So your book, I mean, it puts things in such understandable terms, I guess, as far as the Bible. So that's another thing that I really enjoyed about it, and I want to thank you for that.
I'm so glad. That was one of my goals, is to make this accessible. I have a heart for all of us who have not always been immersed in the church. Like, it's so easy to, we've developed this Christianese and these words that are familiar to us, but God is reaching out to all of his children. And so, like, I have in mind when I'm writing the people who have maybe not been to church or have been hurt by church and have left, and making the word of God still, it's still there, a reminder that this is still God's love letter to you, and he is still there for you. And so I'm really praying that he uses my work for everybody.
Yes, and I believe he will. Melinda, we've discussed throughout the show quite a few of your current endeavors, your past endeavors. So what's next on the agenda for you?
That is an excellent question. All of our best laid plans, I think, got thrown out the window and turned upside down this year. right now, my focus is trying to serve my church well, trying to serve our kids well and connect with them in this time where I can't see them personally, adapting to all the changes. Here in California, we haven't been able to meet in person since March. And so it's been adapting with technology, trying to find creative ways to, you know, send activities and keep the kids connected with one another as well as the Word of God. And so that's kind of put some of my other side work on pause, because that feels like the most pressing thing is serving my community and serving the Lord while everything is just different and unknown and we don't know what's coming next. But also I'm hoping to, one of my New Year's focuses this year is to pick up the work that I've been doing on my next book, which is about minor characters in the Bible. So again, it's a lot of research, trying to find information on people who only got a brief mention in the Word. And so that's been a challenge because there, you know, just isn't a lot of information because there's not a lot there about them. But yeah, we'll see where God is leading with that. And I know there are going to be a lot of things to learn. And I am open for whatever surprises that God throws our way. If 2020 taught us anything, it's to expect the unexpected. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's all horrible, which is really easy for us to say that 2020 was just this horrible year. But I feel like there were a lot of silver linings and a lot of good surprises mixed in on the backdrop of all of the craziness. And so as we go into 2021, I just want to have my eyes open to what he's doing so that I can be obedient and go along for the ride and see where we're going and where he's taking us.
Absolutely. Jean,
amen.
You in our discussions have brought up the fact that you have also been doing some exploring about how to connect in different ways with the technology and everything with the promotion of your children's book. So that fits right in with what Melinda's doing.
Yes, it does.
Well, folks, we're getting close to the end of our time here. Melinda, is there anything else you would like to share with us that you feel like we didn't cover, that you wish we had asked you and we just didn't come up with the question?
Oh, I feel like we covered pretty much everything. I'm sure there's something as we, you know, get off our time here, I'll think, oh, I totally wish I had shared that. But I do hope that anybody listening who wants to continue the conversation, either about the other 316s or Bible study or God's love, or even the ups and downs with bipolar disorder and other challenges, I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, because that's what the cool kids are doing these days. And I would love to connect, because I feel like God has given us these gifts, and you know, the gift of this book is a springboard to start the conversations, and that the gift of our community helps us to grow. And so I would love to connect and continue the conversation.
And thank
Wonderful.
You for offering that. And it will be a great inspiration for people.
Yes, most definitely. And I would like to remind listeners that they will find all of Melinda's social media connections on my webpage, Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com, under the Blog Talk Radio tab, under Melinda's show. So please further investigate Melinda's information, and definitely the other 316s. And I will also put the link to that on there as well, Melinda.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. Jean, this has been fun. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. And thank you, Melinda, again. It's been wonderful getting to talk to you and get to know you better.
Thank you guys so much. This has been a delight. I love spending time with you.
Listeners, in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. God bless you. Thank you for spending time with us. We look forward to seeing you next time.
There is a candle in every soul. Some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a